It's a Friday morning, and as we do every Friday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, it's the Minor League Report. Brian Walton from TheCardinalNation.com will join me momentarily. As always, this is presented by Ryan Kelly. Visit him at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. A lot of subjects covered here. The PCL All-Stars, potential lefty bullpen help from the minor leagues to the big leagues, the Cardinals' minor league coaches at Memphis, and much more. It's all coming up. It's the Minor League Report on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
It's a Friday morning, and that means it's time for the always popular Minor League Report with Brian Walton from TheCardinalNation.com. Does a remarkable job covering all levels, and I mean every level, of the Cardinals minor league system. Brian, let's start with this. Two nights ago, the PCL All-Star Game. How did it fare for the guys that were there from Memphis? And also, Colton Wong's brother had a pretty good night, too.
Well, the AAA All-Star Game really is the last All-Star Game of the major leagues to be held, and it was held in Columbus, Ohio. And Memphis had three players on the team. Dakota Hudson started the game. He pitched the first inning and gave up one run on three hits. But he turned out to be the winning pitcher since Pacific Coast League actually scored in the first inning while he was the pitcher of record. Daniel Ponce de Leon pitched the third inning and had a scoreless frame, which was nice. And then the third All-Star was Patrick Wisdom, who had participated in the home run derby 2 days before, didn't win it, but he had a nice showing. And Wisdom entered the game. He wasn't a starter. He was a pinch hitter. And he had two plate appearances, grounded out and struck out. But the Pacific Coast League won 12-7, and Colton Wong's little brother, Kian Wong, who plays for the Tampa Bay Rays AAA affiliate in Durham, was named the MVP of the game. So, nice for everybody. And of course, the rest of the players got a little bit of break. And then, of course, Memphis restarted the second half in Omaha on Thursday night.
Expectations for the second half, not only for Memphis, but for some of the minor league clubs. What are you looking for?
Well, Memphis, really, it's about sustaining. I mean, they've built such a huge lead, 22 games over 500 in the first half. And, they've done, as we've talked about in numerous times before, the coaching staff has done a really good job keeping the team running well with so many roster changes. And now that St. Louis is getting healthy, we're going to see a couple guys, go down to Memphis who should be able to help them on the pitching side. And so, it's an encouraging thing when St. Louis gets healthy because it helps all the teams down the system as well. And one of the things we've seen this week are a lot of minor league moves where pitching is, moving down the system as well as moving up because Double A Springfield has had a lot of problems in the bullpen. And they're probably the club that really needs to figure out a way to kind of get things going here in the second half.
Memphis, obviously, as you mentioned, had a great first half. They would seem to be the team to beat.
Yeah, with a 12.5 game lead coming into the break, they really just need to, keep on playing well. And they have a target, I guess. Their winning percentage in the first half was only 6.22. Last year it was 6.45. So, maybe they set some type of a goal, to become the winningest Memphis team ever or something like that because – the pitching is number one in the Pacific Coast League by a half a run a game. So, they've just been dominating with guys like Hudson and Ponce de Leon, and now Gomber's back and back in the rotation. So Memphis looks, and, hopefully Helsley will be back. I haven't heard anything lately, but if, Helsley gets back as well, I mean, they're going to have some real strong prospect power in that rotation.
I find it interesting, too, with Memphis. We have talked a lot about Stubby Clapp, and you cover the minor leagues so well. Give us an idea about the hitting coach, pitching coach, and the support staff that is at a minor league team, and in particular with the Memphis Redbirds.
Yeah, it's interesting. Stubby Clapp, of course, is so well known because he was a very popular player, the only player in Memphis history to have his number retired. But interestingly, he's only in his second season as Memphis manager, and before that, he had some managerial experience down in short season ball. But he was primarily a hitting coach a number of years before joining the Cardinals organization. He was with, I think, the Blue Jays for quite a while, and equivalent of the George Kissel Award winner back in 2014. Stubby's an experienced guy. He's not only the mayor of Memphis, but also one of the most famous Canadians in baseball as well. So, people north of the border really keep an eye on him. Budaska, the hitting coach, is an experienced hand. I think he's been with Memphis over a decade now as their hitting coach. And he was called up to St. Louis to be the assistant hitting coach last summer when Bill Miller went on a leave of absence. And Budaska really is a great personality to have around the club because he's always light. I mean, he knows his stuff. He's an experienced guy, but he's also very engaging, and he's just a player. He's just a guy that you like. You like being around him. He's a fun guy, and obviously, you know, his hitters have done the job. And then Granero Roscoe is his first season as pitching coach with Memphis, but he's been in the organization for 13 years and has been successful at lower levels of the minor leagues. One of the things that Roscoe is indicative of, and that is the fact that having Hispanic coaches on a number of the staffs is much more common now. And given the number of young players from different countries that are brought in, you know, having a guy who's a native Spanish speaker is really a plus in terms of being able to communicate not only in this case with the pitchers, but also, you know, with all the players on the teams. Because, you know, despite the fact that these guys are taking, you know, language classes, some of them are just more comfortable at times speaking in their native tongue.
And Brian, I think you bring up a great point, which is longevity with the coaching staff, familiarity with how they want the game taught. And it starts, obviously, at the big league level, but it trickles down. You want those guys, when they're called up, to have a familiarity of what is the what are the expectations for the major league club. And when you have longevity with a coaching staff, it certainly lends itself to having that at all levels of the minor league system.
That's absolutely true, Dan. And, you know, there was a lot of negative blowback about the Cardinal Way a few years ago. But that's really what it was, the teaching that goes back to the George Kissels and the Dave Ricketts, the guys who, you know, set the foundation for the system of how the Cardinals teach, you know, the basics of the game. And Mike Schilt, who's, of course, the bench coach of St. Louis, was involved on a project to document all that and really make sure that there was and that there is teaching consistency across the entire minor league system so that players, when they get to St. Louis, they know how Mike Matheny is going to call a bunt play. They don't need to figure it out because it was the same thing that they were taught, you know, all the way coming up through the system.
Fans that are listening are always curious about that potential call-up or guys that are kind of flying under the radar right now in the minor league system that you don't hear a lot about. We hear a lot about Carson Kelly and Luke Voit and the outfield and the pitching of Dakota Hudson. Give me some other guys that you think are kind of flying under the radar that we could hear about before this season is through.
Well, there's sort of two ways to look at it, Dan. One is the most simple ones. And when I say simple, you know, it's never simple for anybody to reach the major leagues. But a huge step is having a spot on the 40-man roster, which means St. Louis can call them up easily. So there's players on the 40-man roster, Daniel Ponce de Leon, Austin Gomber, Connor Green, who's an interesting guy, but is, you know, having a lot of trouble with the trade acquisition from Toronto, having a lot of trouble with his walks. Matt Bowman's down in Memphis, so you'd see him back. But also on the pitching side, the Cardinals have acquired a couple of lefties recently that are very interesting, Tommy Lane and Tyler Webb. Tommy Lane is a guy that has a lot of major league experience, Boston, Yankees, San Diego. You know, he's pitched in 7 games for Memphis so far, has 13 strikeouts against just 1 walk, hasn't allowed a run, a 143 batting average against. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, experienced left-hander, and, you know, we've seen with the injuries, although, you know, Tyler Lyons is obviously returning, but Ryan Sheriff's out for the year. You know, if they need another left-hander, Tommy Lane might be a guy that they could add. He's not on the 40-man, but Tyler Webb is. And Tyler Webb is a guy that the Cardinals picked up off the waiver wire. He's still very new. He's only pitched in 1 game with Memphis. 27-year-old left-hander, has had a lot of experience as well, also appeared with the Yankees and Milwaukee in the major leagues, and he's another guy that at some point you could see them give a chance to from the left-handed side in the bullpen.
Brian, your experience of covering the minor leagues in baseball for a long time, you got 2 clubs in contention. You got the major league club, and you have Triple-A Memphis, which is where your call-ups primarily are going to come from in September. How do you think the club handles that when you have a team that's got a chance to win a championship at both levels? How do you think the Cardinals handle that? How have they historically handled that?
Well, they look at it in 2 ways. First of all, the rosters expand on the 1st of September. So what that means is St. Louis could conceivably go from having 25 men on the active roster to as many as 40. Everybody on the 40-man roster conceivably could be called up. Now, of course, they don't do that because they don't need 40 guys milling around the dugout. They can't play them all. But there's a handful of guys, 6, 8, you know, guys that they bring up every year that can help them. Bullpen depth, a pinch hitter off the bench, a defensive replacement, that kind of thing. So, you know, the Carson Kellys and Luke Voits and maybe Oscar Mercado, you know, we might see in the outfield this September. But the Cardinals also have to trade that off. They look at their needs, but they also have to trade off for the fact that, you know, the minor league season typically ends on Labor Day. And Memphis is almost, you know, certainly going to be in the Pacific Coast League playoffs. And they don't want to gut the club day one, right, when they're in their most crucial part of the season. So they'll be selective over the first few weeks, certainly while Memphis is playing, you know, adding a few players here and there, but not maybe bringing up the whole group until Memphis, you know, plays out the rest of their schedule, which would probably go till the third week in September if they're, you know, continue to play until the AAA championship game, which they did last year.
One of the great things about your site as we wrap it up with Brian Walton, who covers the Cardinals minor league system at thecardinalnation.com. I cannot recommend it more. I go to it daily, and one of the things I love is seeing the movement that you cover at every level with a breakdown of those players. That's an exceptional job that you do. I know it's painstaking maybe at times at 3 in the morning trying to put it all together, but what else is available at thecardinalnation.com?
Well, as you mentioned, we track every move that occurs across the system and report it in one place. But we not only just look at the moves of, you know, player went from team A to team B, but we also look at what are the implications of that. Is the player moving up because of performance? And if so, where would he fit in a rotation? Or why is this guy moving down? And what's the implication? And, you know, is he a starter? Is he going to be a starter on his new team? Or maybe will he be a reserve? That type of thing. So it's not only reporting on the transactions, but also the implications of it. And I also track, you know, every roster, so I can tell you the 25 guys that are active on Memphis and the 4 guys that are on the DL. Not necessarily off the top of my head, but just because this is something that we're managing in detail. And that really helps us to, you know, be able to report on what's happening in the system, on a day-to-day basis all season long.
Brian, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Thanks, Dan.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
A reminder, if you're new to the website, scoopswithdennymac.com, a minor league report drops every Tuesday and Friday morning. We have Mondays with Mo, a weekly conversation with the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, on Monday mornings, and podcasts that drop every week, as well as game day previews, like the one I'll have later today with the Reds coming to St. Louis. Thanks for checking out ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.